All right, I'm going to share with you about what's coming. And first I want to talk to you about what's going to cause it. And we see that a foundation for the division of the United States is being laid right now. One resolution is passed. The other one is probably on its way to being passed. We'll see. That'll be up to the Lord. I know that the Lord wants to chasten His people and bring them to repentance. And this will be part of it. The tribulation is coming. Anyway, this is about the UN Security Council and that it has just given East Jerusalem to the Palestinians, parted the land according to the scriptures. You have parted my land, he said in Joel 3, and I believe it's 3. And he goes on to say there that I will recompense you. And we've heard these prophecies for so long now, you know, that whoever divides Jerusalem, they're going to be divided. And especially it's been spoken to America. So let me read this article. It's by Michael Snyder. It pretty well covers a lot of it. Barack Obama has just made the worst decision of his entire presidency. Well, it was a willful decision. It wasn't a bad choice on his part. He's not one of us, obviously. On Friday, the UN Security Council adopted Resolution 2334, and this never would have happened without the support and approval of Barack Obama. Since the United States has veto power on the Security Council, no resolution can ever pass unless the United States allows it to pass. For decades, it's been the policy of the U.S. government to veto all anti-Israel resolutions at the Security Council, and the Israeli government had been expecting that Barack Obama would not suddenly change that policy at the very end of his second term. I'm not sure they expected that, but they might have expected he was going to do exactly what he's doing, but we'll see. Most of the news headlines about Resolution 2334 refer to Israeli settlements, but the reality of the matter is that this resolution is about much more than that. The truth is that this resolution has established legally binding parameters for a two-state solution that Israel will never accept, and this includes giving every inch of East Jerusalem to the Palestinians. That's parting God's land. That's what he warned that he would recompense. If you have not read it yet, you can find the full text of the resolution, 2334, right here. There's a link there. It's one of the most important documents of our time, so you need to take a few minutes to read it. In the excerpt below, you will see that this resolution clearly states that East Jerusalem is in the Palestinian territory, and that the Security Council says that it will recognize no changes to the pre-1967 borders except those agreed by the parties through negotiations. Reaffirms that the establishment by Israel of settlements in the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem, has no legal validity and constitute a flagrant violation under international law and a major obstacle to the achievement of the two-state solution and a just, lasting, and comprehensive peace. Reiterates its demand that Israel immediately and completely cease all settlement activities in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem, and that it fully respect all of its legal obligations in this regard. It underlines that it will not recognize any changes to the 4th of June 1967 lines, including with regard to Jerusalem, other than those agreed by the parties through negotiations. In other words, if they change their minds and decide between them they want to do it, okay. But if nobody changes their minds, meaning one side is not enough, if both decide, they can change their minds and this will be changed. Of course, not one inch of East Jerusalem was controlled by Israel prior to the 1967 war. So, the UN Security Council is saying that unless the Palestinians agree to give it up, every inch Every single inch of East Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, belongs to the Palestinians, which of course we know is wrong. Anybody that reads the Bible knows that. As I have explained before, the UN Security Council resolutions are considered to be legally binding on the parties. Now that the Palestinians have been granted full legal ownership over East Jerusalem, does anyone actually believe that they will ever willingly relinquish that? Today, more than 500,000 Israelis live in East Jerusalem and the 137 settlements that are scattered throughout the West Bank. Where are they all supposed to go? This UN Security Council resolution never should have happened. President-elect Donald Trump made it abundantly clear that he would have vetoed this resolution. But instead of deferring to the next administration, Barack Obama decided to viciously stab Israel in the back. This is the greatest betrayal of Israel in American history. And according to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Obama administration has been plotting this for quite a while. That's what I believe right there. From the information that we have no doubt that the Obama administration initiated it, stood behind it, coordinated on the wording, and demanded that it be passed. Netanyahu said in a statement, "This is, of course, in complete contradiction of the traditional American policy that was committed to not try to dictate terms for a permanent agreement, like any issue related to them in the Security Council, and, of course, the explicit commitment of President Obama himself in 2011 to refrain from such steps." Well, he hasn't kept his word yet, has he? During an interview with CNN on Sunday, an official spokesperson for Netanyahu said essentially the same thing. Netanyahu spokesman David Keyes told CNN on Sunday, "We have ironclad information, frankly, that the Obama administration really helped push this resolution and helped craft it from sources internationally and sources in the Arab world. Unfortunately, Obama's actions are going to have very serious implications for all of us. As I have just explained in an article on the most important news, those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed." And that's proven by history, by the way, friends. And this is especially true when it comes to Jerusalem. In Zechariah 2 and 8, we're told that those that touch Jerusalem touch the apple of God's eye. And in Zechariah 12, we're told that the city of Jerusalem will play a significant role in the last days. The following is what Zechariah 12 and 3 says in the Modern English Version. "And it will be on that day that I will set Jerusalem as a weighty stone to all the peoples, and all who carry it will surely gash themselves, and all the nations of the land will be gathered against it." Seemingly so. By defiantly attempting to divide the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem during the waning days of his presidency, Barack Obama has cursed America. Well, yes, and from the beginning also he has. You may not believe in blessings and curses, but the Word of God says that those that curse Israel will be cursed, and without a doubt we will most assuredly be cursed as a result of what Barack Obama has done. And of course, the entire Middle East is going to suffer as well. Instead of bringing peace, this resolution just sets the stage for more conflict. According to the Times of Israel, the Netanyahu government is already promising not to adhere to the terms of the resolution. Quote, "Israel categorically rejects the despicable anti-Israel resolution at the UN and will not adhere to it," unquote. The Prime Minister's office said in a seething statement after the Council voted in favor of the motion 14-0. Knowing all this, put yourself in the shoes of the Palestinians for a moment. The UN Security Council has given them legal rights to a nation with borders based on the pre-67 lines. They have been given every inch of East Jerusalem and every Israeli settlement in East Jerusalem, and the West Bank has officially been declared illegal. If Israel refuses to budge, the Palestinians could very easily come to the conclusion that they have exhausted all legal channels for resolving the conflict, and that the only way they are going to get what legally belongs to them is to take it by force. A great war is coming to the Middle East, and it will be a life or death struggle between the Israelis and the Palestinians and whoever they can get on their side, I should add. Nothing else that Barack Obama has done during his entire time in the White House even comes close to this. He has greatly cursed America. He has set the stage for the bloodiest war the Middle East has ever seen, and he has defiantly shaken his fist at the one true God that created all things. May God have mercy on us all. Okay, now this is another article, again by Michael. It's a UN resolution that would officially recognize a Palestinian state. And this is the one they're trying to put together before the end of Obama's term, January the 20th. If God acts on this quickly, if it passes, and I have no doubt that it might, and God acts on this quickly, we will see earthquakes very quickly. Multiple media outlets are reporting that U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is finalizing a document that the Obama administration hopes will form the basis for a U.N. Security Council resolution that officially recognizes a Palestinian state before the end of Barack Obama's term on January the 20th. This comes on the heels of the UN Security Council's adoption of Resolution 2334 on December the 23rd. That resolution declared that all Israeli settlements in the West Bank are illegal. It stated that the Security Council recognizes the 1967 ceasefire lines as the border between Israel and Palestine, and it officially gave East Jerusalem to the Palestinians. But it stopped short of formalizing recognizing a Palestinian state. Resolution 2334 speaks of a Palestinian state in the future tense, but this new resolution that John Kerry is reportedly working on would give immediate and permanent UN Security Council recognition to a Palestinian state. If there is a UN Security Council resolution that officially establishes a Palestinian state prior to January 20th, there will be no question that it will represent the dividing of the land of Israel at the United Nations that so many of us have been watching for. According to the Times of Israel, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is anticipating precisely this kind of move at the UN, and he is reaching out to Donald Trump for assistance. Amid escalating fallout from the UN Security Council vote Friday that condemned Israel's settlement activities, a furious Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was reported on Sunday night to be attempting to recruit the incoming Trump administration and the U.S. Congress to block a feared bid by the ongoing Obama administration to have the Security Council approve principles for a Palestinian state. It is widely reported that John Kerry will deliver a speech within the next few days that will set out a specific plan for a two-state solution. That same article from the Times of Israel says that Netanyahu is deeply concerned that Obama will seek to have a resolution enshrining those parameters adopted by the UN Security Council before the end of his term on January the 20th. Netanyahu's fear is that Secretary of State John Kerry will set out principles or parameters for a Palestinian state in a speech that he has said he will deliver in the next few days on his Middle East vision. The Prime Minister fears that in its final days, the Obama administration will seek to have a resolution enshrining those parameters adopted by the UN Security Council, the report said. France is to hold a conference on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict on January the 15th, and Netanyahu expects that Kerry will attend. That the Middle East Quartet, the U.S., UN, Russia, and EU will coordinate their positions at that summit, and that they will then turn to the Security Council in the very last days of Obama's presidency, a Channel 10 report further suggested. If John Kerry simply were to get up and give a speech about what he thinks the solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict should be, that would be rather meaningless. In fact, there would be little point in doing that unless action was going to be taken at the UN Security Council before the end of Obama's term. Earlier today, the French made a statement here, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, but he goes on to say, when you hit the translate button, this is how that tweet gets translated. Secretary of State John Kerry would work on a text recognizing the state of Palestine. And when I first saw that, it sent chills through me. According to I-24 News, this document that Kerry is working on would use the 1967 ceasefire lines as the basis for the borders between the two states. But it would also incorporate land swaps so that most of the Jewish settlers in the West Bank could stay where they are. United States Secretary of State John Kerry is preparing a document which will form the basis for final negotiations between the Israelis and Palestinians to be presented next month before President Barack Obama leaves office, the Palestinian Al-Quds newspaper reported Monday. The document will outline the establishment of a future Palestinian state according to the internationally recognized 1967 borders, with land swaps leaving approximately 75 to 80% of Israeli settlers living in the West Bank under the sovereignty of Israel, the report states. The principles will also set out requirements for Palestinian recognition of Israel as a Jewish state, and Israel's required recognition of a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital, Al-Quds said. It would be hard to overstate how dangerous this is. I explained yesterday when Barack Obama decided to betray Israel at the United Nations that he cursed America. And a resolution that would officially recognize a Palestinian state would be an even bigger betrayal than Resolution 2334 was. Back in August, I went on one of the biggest Christian shows in America and specifically warned that a Barack Obama would betray Israel at the United Nations. I have also repeatedly pointed out the pattern of judgment that we have seen over the last several decades whenever the U.S. has made moves towards dividing the land. Yes, it's very obvious that God judges every time they do this. It's very, very obvious. It's just historic. And I have repeatedly warned about what will happen when our government is involved in officially dividing the land of Israel and establishing a Palestinian state. I cannot understand why more Christian leaders are not getting extremely upset about this. They know that the Bible says that God will bless those that bless Israel and that it will curse those that curse Israel. Many of those leaders also know that there will be extremely severe consequences for the United States once a Palestinian state is declared. So why aren't they saying something? Why aren't they warning the people? Why are they just going about business as usual, as if nothing is going to happen? This past weekend, preachers all across America should have been preaching fiery sermons about Obama's betrayal of Israel on Friday. But that wouldn't have been politically correct to preach during the Christmas season, and so in most churches, nothing was said. The passing of UN Security Council Resolution 2334 was the most prophetically significant event in at least 40 years, and another resolution would officially recognize a Palestinian state would be even more important. America is already under a curse due to the passage of Resolution 2334. if another resolution is passed that formally establishes a Palestinian state, our nation will experience a shaking unlike anything that we have ever known before. Yes, and of course we've been talking about that for many years now. Let us pray that the Obama administration is not successful in getting this resolution passed before January the 20th, because if it happens, all hell is going to break loose. Okay. Yep, here's a list of, I think 10. Let me see. 10, yep. 10 times in recent history when they've made a ruling against Israel and their land, that there's been a judgment. You know, Three Mile Island was one. The Perfect Storm was one. Hurricane Andrew was one. All these happened right after such a thing. Northridge earthquake that hit California was one. Oh, the Monica Lewinsky scandal, sending the Clinton presidency into a tailspin. That's the kind we would like to have most often. Judge the people that do it. Yeah, that was one. Hurricane George slammed into the Gulf Coast. 175 mile an hour winds. And, you know, each time, all the way down, they did this, there were these judgments. One point, tornadoes had recorded wind speed of 316 mile an hour, went through Oklahoma and Kansas. That was one of them. Then a staggering 412 tornadoes followed this one. I'm not going to take the time to read all these to you. A half-mile-wide EF5 multiple vortex tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri. Anyway, you get the idea. It's been consistent. And it's even more so for God's New Testament Jews who are circumcised in heart that God brings this kind of a judgment. I'm going to read Brenda Shoneman's revelation here. It's all about how a quake splits the U.S. and there's destitution and captivity. All things we've been talking about, by the way. My note here is that pressure to divide Israel coming from the U.S. and division in the country will probably be the cause of this division of the United States. Well, I'm quite sure of it. So here's Brenda's testimony. She said, I've been holding off on telling this dream for about a year, but I know that it is the time for me to send it to you now. It all started after I woke one morning and I went into the library and pulled out a plain piece of paper and began to draw out what I had seen. It was as if I was looking down from space at the United States of America. Right up the middle of the continent, I saw a great split. It looked as if a huge bolt of lightning had broken the earth open from the east coast of Texas, where Louisiana is, by the way, all the way up through the Midwest. Then I looked over towards New York and surrounding states and saw a great area of darkness. Everything there seemed as if there was no light and no communication. I looked over towards California and I saw a large area of land fall into the ocean there between California and New Mexico. It was like a great landslide and a great wave took off towards the islands and Hawaii, and they were covered with water and completely destroyed. Some islands were covered with water, I've heard from other revelations. And the water was traveling in a direction that was totally against the usual current. Up around the areas of Colorado, Utah, Wyoming, things were silent and still. It seemed to be a safe zone. Then I looked back up the middle of the continent. Actually, I've heard somewhere Utah, water started filling up Utah in certain places, coming up out of the earth. Okay, so every revelation doesn't give every revelation, you know, it's a piece. They're always pieces. Okay. Then I looked back up the middle of the continent where that great split was in the earth. It had smoke and fire rising up out of it, and it was as if an earthquake had torn the continent right up the middle. There were volcanoes erupting in the north, and great clouds of suffocating smoke were covering everything in their path. America was devastated. Then I saw a helicopter with the president on board, and they were taking him to another safe area that had not been destroyed. This is where the president set up headquarters to run the country. Communications coming from Washington or the Pentagon were bleak and not working properly. Business was not as usual because of the darkness in that area. The president set up meetings with Canada, Alaska, and Mexico for immediate communication of what to do with the millions of people who had been affected by the earthquake. Shaking type catastrophe. The problem was that there were very few places found that could handle the influx of homeless and wounded. The destruction was too wide. People were helping their neighbors and trying to deal with what was happening as best as possible. I knew that this was the end. For a moment I thought, what am I still doing here? Because she got a revelation through this too. Okay. I saw great tent cities being erected to house those who had been displaced. Curfews were set all across America. Families from city to city and state to state were unable to communicate with each other because there were no communication devices working. No one knew if their family members in other states were dead or alive. If people tried to go to downtown or to the next community, they were sent back to their homes. Barriers were at all main intersections with checkpoints in place. Military and police were at the checkpoints and going through neighborhoods. There were complete restrictions on any travel to work, school, or church. You can imagine what that will do to the economy. It will push it over the edge. Military were going from block to block and house to house to look for weapons, food, and water. They were going to put it in one place and give it out as they saw fit. People were locking themselves in their homes and trying to hide from the military in fear of having everything that they had stored taken away. It did no good to try and keep anything from them. They would break the doors down on homes. And then they beat up the people for trying to hide. There were large trucks that were taking families and splitting them up and taking the people to the tent cities. People wanted to stay in their homes, but the military would not let them. If you would not leave, then they forced you to. There was no compassion. I want to say that there's always going to be exceptions to these rules here. You just be in the will of God, folks. Just be in the will of God. She's telling you what she has seen. It's not necessary that she's seen it everywhere. It's not even likely that she's seen it everywhere. Okay? The public began to rebel, and then the local police were called to get involved with the military. They were still short of force. That's the problem right there. Then I witnessed as a gang-type militia began to develop among groups of young people, young men and women who were armed with guns, and I witnessed as these young people took control over areas and even shot and killed people who wouldn't do what they ordered. Many old people were simply shot. It was like watching exterminators kill roaches or rats. There was such a shortage of everything and such fear that these people were completely out of control. Everything was looted and people were hurting other people in ways that was indescribable. There were Christians here. I underlined that. The rapture had not happened yet. Yes, we know. I knew that this was during the tribulation, perhaps the beginning. Yes, it's at the beginning. Okay. I have always believed that the church would be taken out at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation period, but after that dream, I was convinced that there was the possibility of a mid-tribulation rapture for the church. Nope, it's going to be post-tribulation only. And you can go to our site at When Do We Go and find that out. Or you can go to Hidden Manna for the End Times book and find that out very clearly. I saw Christians sneaking over to houses and comforting old people and those who were in great fear and lacking understanding of what to do. They prayed with those people, and many began to repent and turn their hearts to Jesus Christ. Well, we already know, we've already had many dreams about the fact that when the earthquakes come, there's going to be a revival, and a lot of people are going to repent. Praise God. And if this is going to happen, it ought to happen at the beginning of the tribulation period. So they've got a chance before the middle of the tribulation period when the mark of the beast comes. They need to find out the new leadership for that first 3.5 years, and they need to find it out quickly, and that's why this thing will happen at the beginning. The only part that perplexed me was that I don't remember seeing any children. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. None, with the exception of one little girl who led me through the whole dream. She was at every position of the dream and watched everything with me. She never spoke. She was simply present, and her face was covered with ash, and she was in sackcloth. Her countenance was sorrowful. Remember, there will be earthquakes going off. We've already discovered in other dreams that during the earthquakes there was ash falling from the sky. I don't think you can have big earthquakes like that without setting off volcanic activity. I did see torture. The Christians were being mocked as if it were God's fault that this had happened, and the masses wanted them tortured and made a spectacle. I was dragged out of my house and stripped naked, and marched down my street in front of all my neighbors, while they shouted and spit on me and threw things at me. I was embarrassed, but only for a moment. I remembered that God was still on the throne, and that this would soon be over. My children were not with me. I think the boys had been taken away. I was beaten and hit repeatedly, and then I woke up. So why am I sharing this now? Because I feel that we should take serious the pending possibility of a massive time of darkness here in America. I have not told people about this dream because maybe it was just for me. I don't know, but I do feel that it was a warning to me and whoever I tell. I am not an alarmist. I have faith in God and still hold to the fact that I had always believed in the church being out of here before the tribulation period. I do question this now. And so will a lot of others. That's a good type of sign. I mean, you know, people are going to realize, oh, I'm here, I'm in the tribulation, and some of them are, and now I have to make sure I know the Lord. Yeah. Get back in that Bible and find out what the preachers didn't tell you, right? I feel that we should prepare our homes for the possibility of needing water and non-perishable food, and have some cash and small bills on hand. Plenty of, and if they come and take your food, saints, I mean, I'm not recommending this except for the very short time that goes through this, so you can stay out of the way of the military. Stay out of their way, you know. Besides, if they take your food, it's no big deal. God can give you food, and He will. He'll supply your every need according to His riches and glory. Plenty of flashlights and batteries, and even a plan to decide where to meet your family members and gather together the moment the darkness strikes. If you had made plans to go to another place like Colorado or Utah, then you would have to go before the roads were closed. Those who wait too late will be in captivity. Yeah. Yes, you need to move quickly, I think. I mean, God can take people out of captivity any time. He showed me years ago that He was going to give me a gift to translate people. They would just stand next to me, and we would travel. So God can do this. You don't believe because you go into captivity that you're stuck there forever. In fact, just be a witness to those people who need the witness, right? I pray that this would never happen. However, I also know that God will not do anything until he has revealed it to his prophets. And I have never called myself a prophet, nor will I begin now. However, I can tell you how many things I have dreamed. I can't tell you how many things I have dreamed about and have now seen them come to pass repeatedly. The track record on what he shows me has been on target so far. I don't know if you will listen to what I have written here, but I believe that there will come a day, if the Lord tarries and we are here at the beginning of the tribulation, that many people will not be able to get to their pastor or church family. And that's a plan of God, I think. And they will become fearful if they haven't at least prepared their hearts. But they'll have plenty of people out there spread out in every area to tell some truth that they're not getting in their so-called church family. Those who know the truth and know the signs of the time that we are in must reach those who are still unaware of how near we are to the end of this age. Amen. I pray to always give you the truth and to never hold back on the necessity of our knowing where we stand with Jesus. I also pray for God to protect all of you and give you all the strength that you need to stay diligent in his service. We must begin to pray together for protection and guidance from the Lord. Yes, and we've been doing that for quite a while. Okay, I'm going to read another one to you if we got time. And this is talking about the dollar falling, of course, the New Madrid quake, and the riots. This is a Sid Roth interview with Pastor Shane Warren of the Assemblies of God Church, July the 10th, 2012. Shane said, approximately a year ago or so ago, I was sitting on the couch. I thought I had fallen asleep when in reality I was in a vision, an open vision. I have a large screen television in my living room. I was sitting on the couch watching television, and again I thought I was dreaming. As I watched, there was a weather broadcast that was on television, and there was a news anchor who said, the most amazing thing is going on right now. It's tragic. It's tragic. They were building this news broadcast around this event. He said, normally hurricanes hit on the coastal lines, he said, but there is a hurricane that seems to be spreading down or coming across the heartland of America. At that point, he showed a satellite image of America, and I was horrified as I watched a storm covering from the northern border to the southern border, from east to west, as this massive storm with the eye right over the center of America, a hurricane coming across the center of America. Of course, this is obviously a spiritual hurricane. There's never been such a thing as that that covered all of the landmass of America. Immediately it came back to this anchor. The anchor said, we have somebody on the ground in the eye of the storm. We're going to go to him now. They pitched it to a news reporter. This news reporter was in the eye of the storm, and as you would see in a hurricane, the wind is blowing violently, and they're being tossed to and fro. He said, this is the most amazing thing. I don't understand it. This is not a natural storm. Those were his words. He said, this isn't normal. Look at what it's raining. And he reached down to the ground, and he picked up, and he holds in his hand a fistful of $1 bills. He said, this isn't natural. It's raining dollar bills. Well, the falling dollar, right? And the anchor and his correspondent went back and forth about the meaning of these dollar bills. He said, I don't understand. It's almost like they're worthless. They're worthless. Well, that's the falling dollar, right? It was raining dollars. It's obvious that a flood of printed dollars has led up to this point to lay a foundation for this disaster. And QEs and everything else, right? At that time, it came back to the same anchor. And it appears that while the dollar is falling, the New Madrid will quake. Okay? He said, ladies and gentlemen, another tragedy has hit America. He said, right in the heartland of America on the New Madrid Fault, a major earthquake has just hit. And now, of course, this means that the East Coast, New York, D.C. quake happened before this crash, because it comes before the New Madrid, right? And immediately, pictures of devastation began to pop up all over America, the heartland of America, along the New Madrid Fault, as earthquakes caused entire cities to crumble. And while I was sitting there, I heard a booming voice in behind my ear that said, quote, "They have divided my land, now I will divide their land," unquote. And of course, this appears at that time more would be done to Jerusalem to divide it before the quake. At that time I wrote, the covenant two-state solution, which was agreed on years ago, is happening on the ground quietly now. Roads, overpasses, construction are dividing the city. So back then I wrote that in there. And the words of God goes on to prophesy in Joel, I believe, Shane said. I believe it is Joel 3, 1 and 2. Yes, it is. That if we divide his land, God will divide our land. Well, he will recompense us, which means he'll pay us back. Right? That's what it says there, 3, 1 through 4. I never realized the prophetic implications of that, but I knew immediately in my dream or in this vision that he was speaking about Israel and specifically Jerusalem. And all that's going on right now, which tells me that this dream that I've had and all of the issues that are going on with Israel and Jerusalem, that's taking place right now. Well, it wasn't quite right then that it happened. No, it's been trickling on and paused for years, but it's going on. Sid, it tells me that this dream that I had is about to unfold, because I heard that. And I saw the incredible changes in the prices of currency. I saw silver, not gold, but I saw silver begin to drastically increase in value, not gold, but silver, which to me is against my natural thinking. I don't really fully understand. I'm not an economist. I'm a preacher. Well, I don't think it's a wrong thinking at all. They could very well take up the gold. They did it before. Sid Roth said, well, I can tell you this. 20 years ago, I had a dream. I've only had a few dreams in my life in which God has come to me and spoken very, very, not symbolically, very clear, and he told me the same thing. And that's one reason I'm really listening to what Shane is telling us. Go ahead. He meant that the silver was going to increase in value, is what he meant. And Shane said, I saw with that riots begin to break out. Major cities all over America broke out in riots. You can imagine, I mean, it's just in time food and everything else to these cities. So it doesn't take long before people go crazy. So that's why I say, get out of the big cities. That's where most of the trouble is going to be. It's going to be where a lot of the brutality is going to be and the lawlessness is going to be. Get out of the big cities. Pray and ask God. People were rioting in the streets, and on their sign is, "Give us our entitlements. Give us our entitlements." And it was literally war. I mean, it looked like civil war within our borders. But it was all over the issue of devaluing of money. And then Sid, immediately I was caught up, and I was sitting in a room with world leaders. I can tell you that China was there, Iran was there, Russia was there, and here's what's amazing, Putin was there. And he just got reelected. In my opinion, this is very soon. I believe it's unfolding in the background, and I believe that world governments, including America, know it's getting ready to happen. In this meeting, these world leaders were talking about how to devalue the currency of America by buying oil with another currency, and somehow or another that would drive down the value of the American dollar. Well, anyway, notice that the storm of falling dollars came when the enemies of America decided to buy oil with gold. as he's going to go on to say. This could cause the United States to take up the gold, as in the last Great Depression. That's what I wrote back then. So now we're closer to that. And when this happened, I realized that this is the storm. As I am sitting here watching this, I woke up and I realized I wasn't in a dream. I was still sitting up on the couch. I was looking at the television and I realized that this was an open vision, that God was showing me the storm that's about to come to America. And for you listeners that are watching right now, I'm telling you, you need to get ready and to turn towards God. We are in troubling days. And Sid said, "What is the hope that you also were shown by God?" And Shane said, "Oh, churches became cities of refuge. All of a sudden, the body of Christ stood up like a mighty sleeping giant in the earth and began to," I feel the anointing on me right now as I'm talking to you, began to minister, and people were coming to them. And I saw signs and wonders and miracles being poured out all over America. So again, the revival comes with the earthquakes. And the fact that a lot of people are being dislocated and have no certain future and all these things, you know. I saw America being shaken as the worldly couldn't go to the government anymore. They had to come back to the church for help. I saw literally like cities of refuge. And of course, entire cities became cities of refuge, where the scriptures talks about there was rain in one city and no rain in another city. I saw that. As people were plunging into these cities because there was life there, that's talking about the cities of refuge, there was glory there. The presence of God was there. There was peace there. And they were running to that, and revival was taking place. Amen. Along with the New Madrid quakes, the man-child ministry is going to begin with the revival. That's my note, by the way. I believe that we have a two-sided coin taking place here, Shane said, that on one hand, judgment is beginning, that God has had his fill of immorality, that God has had his fill of complacency, and the other hand is this glorious outpouring. Always when judgment comes, it's always unto mercy. Yes, you know, God's people pray when they read these things, and quite often, judgments aren't as bad as the way they're prophesied, because God's threatening, and when people pray and ask for mercy, God gives that mercy. Sometimes he totally deletes a judgment, and sometimes not. Sometimes he just lessens it. My opinion is that this one is going to be less terrible than it actually is being betrayed here, but because of God's mercy, but that it will still come. And Sid said, "Now, when you saw that money falling, what did that mean?" And Shane said, "I saw great inflation taking place. That there's an economic storm. I know everybody is saying that the economy is turning around, and my message is not doom and gloom. My message is power and boom. Listen, God's going to get glory here. God's going to raise his church up, and people are going to see us. But I'm telling you that the economic storm is not over. It's far from over. The economic wind has yet to escalate. I saw great inflation." And this happened just a few weeks ago. The news media responded and confirmed this dream. "I was in a dream. I was in the Middle East in a great room somewhere. I can't tell you exactly where I was, but I knew that I was in the Middle East and I was in an Arab nation, and there were leaders from the world gathered around a table. Iran was there. China was there. India was there. Pakistan, Turkey, Egypt, Russia. In fact, Russia and China were major players at that table, and what they were doing is talking about how to devalue the dollar. And one of them stood up and said, 'I know how we can do it. America does no longer value their dollar based on the gold standard anymore. We will buy oil with gold, and we will change the way oil is valued according to gold, and it will drive the value of the dollar down. And, of course, from that time, many countries were buying up gold all over the place, not America, but these others were, because they had a plan. And he went on to say just a few weeks ago in the news, all of the major newspapers, they were saying to their shock, to America's shock, which I did not believe, but to America's shock, there were private meetings going on, and now you have people agreeing to buy oil from Iran. Russia, China, and others agreeing to buy oil, and they're going to give them gold for oil. Sidraw said, well, right now, half of the people in the United States of America are dependent upon the government for money. But when the government runs out of money because of hyperinflation, and with the devastation that you saw, there's only one place that will be able to supply the needs of the hurting humanity, and that was the place God designed in the first place. And Shane said, absolutely. I saw great demonstrations and even almost like violence in the streets whenever these different things are lost, because there's not enough money to keep up the subsidies. And whenever these things are lost, there's going to be violence in the street. But at the same time, I saw the church arise and healing in their wings for this moment. Okay, I just like to say one thing. It's a possibility that there will be a warning. An earthquake on the East Coast will let people know, that the greater earthquake that is being spoken about here, the one at the New Madrid, is not going to come maybe for 3 days. Okay? So if you hear about an earthquake on the East Coast and they play it down and they tell you it's not that bad, but it's a record earthquake and so on and so on, that's the time for you to get out of the cities and do it quickly and get away from the coast. Because these kind of earthquakes not only are going to be here, but they're going to be around the world. And water is going to be coming in. Get away from the coast, okay? Saints, what can I say? I still think it's coming. And we've been saying this for many years now. We've had a lot of dreams on the site. All I can say is be prepared. Listen to the Lord. Pray, ask the Lord what He wants you to do, where He wants you to be, and you've got, the Lord can tell you. He can tell you in a dream. He can tell you by an angel. He can tell you so many different ways. He can tell you where to go and when to be there. Okay? But they're trying to do this before Obama leaves office. I do believe he will leave office, and I do believe that Trump will take office. He might take office not in Washington, D.C. We'll see. But you pray. You talk to God. Again, have a little food in your house so you can stay out of the way of the military as much as possible. Stay out of their way. And ask God to hide you. Not just hide your food, but hide you. Right? He can hide anything. He's Almighty God. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for your awesomeness to be our Savior and our God, and that you will deliver your people. Lord, we just ask that the brethren out there pray and see what are the possibilities. We don't know what God will do. We just to seek God for the possibilities and seek God about where to be. They obviously are pushing this thing through pretty fast. And so, Lord, you know what's going to happen. We defer to you on everything, and we thank you so much, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, saints, God bless you. Pray, let me know if you hear anything significant from God concerning these things. God bless you.